Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Welcome, best people I know. That's definitely you. Feeling the love in the family. Over 36,000 listeners now. I am just so excited. It means we're making a difference and we're all helping each other be our best. And boy, is this guest today going to give you some insight into the truth of who you are and those around you. I have been so looking forward. I was on the phone with Naomi ahead before going on air, and I'm like, oh, wow, I can't wait. I'm going to do this too. This is going to be so much fun. You're going to love this show. I want to remind you, if you want to get a listing of all of our great guests who we have so many that it's hard to list them right now. So just go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, and everything's posted there. The Mind Vitamin newsletter will give you the update every month who's going to be on the show, and that way you don't miss anything. You can also go to iTunes and download to your mobile device. So feel like a lot of people that get in touch with me, they download it, and then when they're walking on the treadmill or outside or doing things in the car, they just listen, and it's a great way to catch up, and it's all free. So how awesome is that? Okay, well, let's get into today's show. First of all, I know you're going to want to speak with Naomi live, and if you'd like to do that, you can just dial 347-637-1318, hit #1, and that'll put you through in the switchboard, and we'll get to you. But this is all about face reading and really discovering the truth of who you are and what makes people tick. So how could this information help you any more to know how to be your best and what is making other people be their best as well? And our guest is Naomi Tickle. And if you don't already know her, I'm going to encourage you to go to her website right now. It's NaomiTickle.com, NaomiTickle.com. And that'll give you an idea. She has a great website, has tons of information there. And you might want to look at that as you're listening to the show, or it might prompt you to ask some questions. But she is a world-renowned speaker and career consultant. She's appeared on CNN, NBC, BBC, and numerous other radio shows worldwide. She's been featured in major newspapers and magazines in England. She's very popular in the UK and also here in the United States. When you understand people, it's easy to negotiate, persuade, or help them solve their problems. Gaining valuable insight, you don't have to be a psychologist, take a Myers-Briggs test, a handwriting exam, or read their palms. Can you distinguish simple features? Learn more about a person from a careful look, more than some psychologists could possibly learn in many sessions. Personality and behavior are closely linked. Facial features are linked by our DNA. Recognizing these features predicts accurately how people behave. Now, personology is a huge topic, and again, you want to connect with Naomi, and you want to read more about personology and how you can work with her and have her tell you more, just go to www.naomitickle.com. And with that, it is a privilege and pleasure to welcome you to the show today, Naomi. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Deb. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you sharing your shine because what you do is so unique. Tell people about it. Give us a little bit of the history because I think people are finding this fascinating.
Well, I came across this system back in the 1980s, actually, and, you know, like many, when all my friends were going down having their faces read, I was somewhat skeptical, and it sounded a rather strange thing to do. But anyway, after a while, it became more intriguing, and I went down and had an assessment, and I was just blown away. I I've taken lots of tests over my time, but nothing came close to this, and I understood myself for the first time. So this was a system that was developed by a judge back in the 1930s. And he, whilst in court, he would notice the patterns that were there, and he became so intrigued by this that he dropped his work. He and a group of men, various backgrounds from engineers, statisticians, and so forth, got together and researched this on thousands of people, and they came up with 68 traits with an 88% accuracy. And this applies across all cultures, because what comes up, Deb, is, well, aren't we discriminating? Aren't we judging? Isn't this perhaps racist or something? We look at the same trait applies across all cultures. We all come from one source. And so we're born with these traits. And when you may see a child at birth, you'll see if they are musicians, writers, designers, detailed, are they more the precision people, are they more want the bottom line. All of these traits you can see at the time of birth, and then by the time the child has reached puberty, all the traits are now fully formed.
Wow.
And these traits are inherited from the parents, of course. So, yes, the environment can affect people, but it can either suppress the traits or it can support them. But we are born with these traits. So the structure of our face is the, what I call the GPS to our inner blueprint. It explains what makes people tick and why.
Wow, that is so fascinating. I mean, you just said so much right there. 68 features and 88% accuracy. I don't even know if the Myers-Briggs is that accurate, is it?
I'm not sure, but we have, when I eventually studied this back in 1993, I think it was, or earlier than that actually, about 91, I went through the whole program and then tested this out to see, well, how well does this work? And then eventually my husband and I, we designed a career program that was based on the Department of Labor guidelines for career assessments. And if you look up an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, a writer, and it describes the qualities needed for that specific job, and you see those qualities in the face. So what we did was we created a computerized career program that listed the qualities needed for each career. We typed that in, and then the program searches for the best match. And then later, we did some blind studies with career counselors just to see how our program we designed compared with your traditional tests like Myers-Briggs, DISC, and many of the others. And these assessments were made from photographs. I work with people from all over the world, and specific photographs are sent. And I'd like to add, this is not intuitive. This is a science. This is more of an empirical science. And so people say to me, I must be intuitive or something. But I don't do that. I really rely on these numbers. Anyway, we, based on the feedback from the career counselor and the subjects we worked with, they said this was oftentimes a better match than a lot of the tests you take. And it validates people because, you know, people say, why am I not more like them? Or, you know, the narrow-faced person who is hesitant to new situations. You know, they get very anxious when they're facing new things. And yet the wide-faced person say, oh, I can do that. Not a problem.
Isn't that fascinating? And, you know, I love how you say it's an empirical science, because I think that that might be the perception of some people listening. Well, that's sort of a psychic thing or an intuitive. No, but what you're saying is this is actual data. This is something that you have computerized. This is really, really something that you can, it's measurable. And I'm just overwhelmed that even, you know, with children, that we have babies that you can, you know, learn these things in their faces because it is part of our DNA. Well, you know, how about some of the things that you would like to share with people listening as far as, would you like to go into some of the things that people might be wondering about, their eyes or some examples with, as you said, longer face, wider face, heart-shaped face, things like that? Or would you like to talk about what knowing this knowledge can do to help you more in your life, whatever you would like to do, because it's all terrific.
Well, it certainly can help you in many different areas of your life. For understanding children, you know, when I look at a child's face, I look at the potential that's there. And I remember looking at this, I think she was about 5 months old, the baby, and I noticed there was the writing line there, and I thought, I have to go up to the mother and share this with her, that she's going to be a writer. And so I explained to the mother what I did, and I said, you know, your daughter's going to be a writer one day. She said, oh, well, I write for the newspaper. So no surprise, really, that her daughter inherited a trait. But, you know, it's wonderful for helping students who are struggling in school. It's so quickly labeled as not concentrating, have ADD, or what have you. And I'm not saying there isn't any merit in some of this, but I think they're too quick to label people or students without them really exploring who are they really. So it's great for students, for career assessments. It helps them to get on track with their life, for communications, client relationships. You know, we are who we are. And the way we come across to people may not be how we perceive ourselves. And when people react to us, we think, well, what are they reacting about? So it's great for relationships. I mean, so many couples break up today, and it saddens me because I think if they had more of a heads up and knew more about each other before they moved in together, it would save a lot of that pain and create a better understanding of each other and a richer relationship. But going to some of the traits that I'm sure the listeners are longing for me to get to, especially those who want the bottom line, people, we actually have a special tools that measure the face. And I'm not suggesting when you meet someone for the first time you take out a ruler and start measuring their face, but to determine if somebody has close-set or wide-set eyes, we actually measure the distance between the eyes, and then we measure the width of the eye itself. And people with close-set eyes are very good with detail. They notice every little detail. And sometimes they can get overly anxious about things till it becomes bigger than life. Now, the gift of this, you know, working with detail, next time you're in your dentist chair, you might want to check out to see if he has closer eyes. I actually talked at a conference, a dental conference, and I had over 200 beady eyes looking at me. It felt very strange, but very reassuring. They're in the right profession. And, of course, your accountant or your psychologist often have closer eyes, or any career where detail is more the emphasis. They're very good at that. Whereas people with wide-set eyes are much more the bigger picture. So, you know, you look at most of your politicians right now, they are going to have wider-set eyes because they're your multitaskers. They can do this and this and this and this. No, they can do this too. And sometimes can get scattered if they're not careful. But they are much more relaxed. You know, sometimes you meet people and say, oh, they're so easy to be with. And then you meet other people who are so uptight. You know, it's like they have this anxious level of, it's like, ooh, just they need to relax. So some listeners who have those closer eyes, challenge or question to you is, how does it feel if people are intense with you? It's not your intention to be at people or in their face, but it's just being aware of how your style of communication comes across to your partner, your business associate, your children. But keep in mind that there is the gift that people are good with detail, very focused on it.
You know, I love the way that you're sharing these pieces of information, this data, but you're always looking at the positive side. You know, this is what you're really good at, and embrace that and stop struggling and going against, you know, the tide. And I think that this can make life so much more pleasant. It's really freeing, this information that you're providing.
Well, you know, and everybody with this trait, the close-set eyes or whatever other trait is, experiences exactly the same as that person does. So we're not alone. There isn't something we've picked up or got into a habit of doing. It's something we came into this world with. But choice supersedes structure. So the more the aware that we sometimes get anxious, the more we can step outside and say, oh, I need to go and take a walk, or turn on the music, help me to relax. And with the wide-set-eyed person, you know, if they find themselves getting too scattered, then, you know, say, okay, I'm going to get this done by 4 o'clock today. And then another trait that we see in the eyes is the perfectionist trait. When the outer corner of the eye is lower than the inner corner, these are the people who see mistakes that others miss. Hugh Grant has this trait. Barack Obama has it in one eye only. They are the perfectionists, and they wonder why people miss these mistakes. And to them, it just jumps off the page at them. I remember seeing this young man in a wheelchair. He had this trait, and he also had straight eyebrows that went the way across. And I thought, I bet he'd be good at editing documentary films. So I shared this with him. I said, you know, I asked him, what do you plan to do with your life? He said, I don't know really. And his mother was standing there, and he's about 16, 17 years of age. I said, well, this is what I do, and you might want to consider documentary films. And his mother said, I can't believe you're saying that. She said, next week, he's picking up the top award for the best documentary film in school.
Oh!
And here, so the perfectionist or the critical trait is a gift. And you also see in editors or any career that needs precision. Electrolysis. Mm. I've had their conference, and most of them had the precision trait. Well, of course, perfect. And it's very reassuring. But the challenge of this trait is in relationships and with children, in that the child comes running home from school and says, look what I've done, look what I've done. And the parent with the critical trait looks at what they haven't done. Never good enough. And they can carry that through the rest of their lives. Whereas you say, oh, you've done a great job. Here's something you might want to change next time. But keep up the good work. It makes such a difference. Same in relationships. It can wear down the partner. If any of the listeners can relate to having this trait, always praise people first. Keep it out of relationships because it can come so hard. See, they've inherited it, that critical trait, from their parents. So they were brought up with this. The young man from New York, he was 40. And he sent me his photograph, and I knew right away that he'd been brought up by critical parents. And I said, what was it like being brought up by them? He said, it's too painful. I don't want to go there. And I noticed he had a rounded outer edge of the ear. So I knew he was good at music. So I said, you might want to take up music. Oh, he said, I was signed up at the Los Angeles School of Music, but dropped out because I couldn't handle the criticism anymore. And I said, well, you have a gift. Get back and play your musical instrument and join a musical group. He did that, and it only took me 3 emails.
Wow. That is phenomenal. I mean, I think that that's, this is just really mind-boggling to me, and I think it's just so needed by so many people at so many different ages. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you've been doing this for a long time. You're obviously really, really good at it. And you've also written a best-selling book about it. Tell us what the book will offer people, if people want to get the book and how they can do that. I know it's at your website, but could you just share a little bit about what's in the book?
Well, in my latest book, is What Makes People Tick and Why, is that it covers at least 68 traits. I actually haven't counted them, to be quite honest, but there's at least 68 traits there. And there's photographs and there's sketches which demonstrate the trait. And it talks about it, and I add some of the stories I've collected from my clients along the way. And then at the end of each chapter, it gives different applications, relationships, sales, careers, and children. So it helps people to, I always say to them, it's just a introduction to this concept. It doesn't train people to do this. We do offer courses to do that, correspondence courses. But this just gives an introduction to the concept and practicing one trait at a time. So if you see somebody with a critical eye, you don't want to go up and say to them, oh, you're critical. You might want to say, I bet you see mistakes that other people miss. How do you know that? Well, I'm told that when the outer corner of the eye, etc. And so by focusing on one trait at a time, then you start to find yourself in, whether it's in the family, whether it's at work or meeting with a client, that criticism comes across and you flash on the eyes and think, I know why they're saying that. Thank you for the feedback, rather than taking it personally. So the book goes through all these traits and starts an awareness of this. And as I say, It does apply across all cultures. It's not intuitive. It is a science. We have these special tools that we measure some of the face. But after a while, you know, you become, you know, so familiar with the face shape that it just pops off, you know, pops out at you.
Mm.
So faces never look the same again.
Wow. Oh, no, absolutely not. And, you know, it really can be applied to anything in life. I mean, like you said, the children, business, families, some of the workshops you've given just to share with people listening, AT&T, IBM, Morgan Stanley, Emory University, Norwich University, you know, Macy's, CNN, World Trade Center. Well, you know, that is something that is really, you know, unbelievable, all the people that you've touched and the things that you're doing, plus a lot of upcoming events. Are you going to be at Fordham University later this year? Is that coming up? Or?
Well, I'm going to be in the Kinesiology Conference in Chicago in July. I'm also going to be at NACE Conference in New Orleans. That's in July as well. And there's a few other places. I speak at different conferences and executive recruiting events, etc. And it's usually, sometimes it's conferences. Mostly, I don't give individual workshops, but I do give individual training.
Right. And if somebody was interested in having you come to speak to their business, if there's somebody listening right now and they have a business or they have an organization or they're going to be at a national conference and, you know, they were looking for somebody, it would be an engaging and interesting speaker. Certainly, they could contact you and they could do that. Would you want them to email you or just go to your website with the contact information? Because you have a section on speaking events, so...
Yes, and it's you know, people at the conferences and these various events, they love it because it's something different. And what I offer at the end is if anyone wants to purchase my book, I offer a mini reading with the purchase of the book, and they love that personal touch.
Yeah.
Because, again, it validates the work, and it helps them to understand themselves better, like the procrastinator. We can't one has to put one's hands, it's the shape of the head. You can tell with a procrastinator. So, you know, sometimes I identify that these people are procrastinated all the time, they say. It's when the head is narrower at the back than the front. These are your procrastinators, and they have a hard time moving on things. So we tell them to do short lists, short-term goals and deadlines, and that helps them to move on things. Whereas if you look at a lot of your top sports people, their head is much wider at the back compared to the front. And you will see this, of course, in all your politicians. These are your competitive people. They like to take the action forward.
Wow. So when you, and we were talking a little bit about this before we went on air, but you, when you do this, you it's not just the front picture that you use. It's actually some side views. What do you actually, and you're talking now about the back of the head and all this. So what do you need for pictures to be able to give an accurate assessment?
I need one full face and one of each side profile with the forehead completely exposed and the ears. So take the hair off the forehead and the ears and make sure the head is level to the camera, and then a photograph of both hands with the palms facing the camera, fingers together, knuckles straight, and the thumb resting against the index finger. So just send those four photographs. And then what people get is they'll get a personalized CD. I go over the traits on the CD with them. They'll get career suggestions or relationship compatibility. It's great for that. And I also do a printout, and they get a chart as well.
Wow, that is just, but that's some amazing information, because you're really letting people know this is what you're good at, these are the things that you might not be so good at, but this is how you can work on it. I love how you said about helping the procrastinator. I mean, who doesn't have a little bit of that in them? Some of us more than others. But, you know, sometimes it's the stuff we love. That's easy to do, but it's sometimes the other stuff that can be difficult for many. And that is just, it's just amazing. What about eyebrows or a nose or a mouth? Or is there anything that is common with those particular things that you'd be interested in sharing?
Well, I'd like to share the lips, actually. You know, the bigger the lips, the more people like to talk. And we're looking at proportionately to their face. But if their lips are very zip-thin, disappeared, these people have gone through some very hard times, emotionally or physically, and they've become very bitter or very angry. This man, I sent me a photograph, no lips, completely disappeared. I said, what on earth has happened? And he said, well, when he was three, he was sent to live with his uncle because his father passed away. And he said, all through school, he got from his family, his friends, and his teachers, you don't have a brain, work with your hands. And he became very bitter. And that's what happens. We sometimes see people with the lips have disappeared, and you know they've gone through very tough times. And sometimes they will sit there quietly and not say anything. So when you meet those people, just ask them open-ended questions. Get them involved with the conversation. And once they get opening up, they will start to talk and share what's going on. Otherwise, they clamp down.
Wow.
Whereas the fuller lips are much more, you know, outgoing, much more, social, very socially oriented. But one trait I would like to share is the forehead. And you have to look at this from the side profile. When the forehead, as seen from the side profile, goes straight up and down, these are your linear thinkers. These are the people who understand things step by step by step by step. If people go too fast for these people and they miss a piece, they don't hear anything else that's being said until that piece is in place. If we start in the middle of something, they're totally lost. In school, the people with this shaped forehead are often considered to be slow learners. Not the case. They're more the step-by-step learners. And what happens, the teacher may go too fast and they blank out. Or as one girl from Poland sent me her photograph, her parents were very concerned because she's 18, never did well in exams, and she was in a very low point in her life. I immediately identified this trait. And I said, well, you know, because at exam time, what would happen? She would panic. And her mind would go blank, which is what happens with many of these people who are more the sequential learners. They know it, but it's like they panic at that last moment. And so I got her to play music. If she couldn't take music into class, and you know, think of a song in her head, a tune in her head. And she got through her exam in flying colors and signed up for Warsaw University.
Wow, what a great story. What a satisfying career. It's just amazing. I'm just fascinated by what you're sharing and these positive experiences of transformation. I mean, they're priceless. And you see a lot of these TV shows now that talk about using profilers in them to help them identify, you know, crimes and things like that. But I just think that there's so many applications, so much good that can be used from this. You must really just be so, I don't know, satisfied every day at helping so many people.
Well, one thing I'd like to quickly add is that there is no feature in the face that indicates crime.
Oh, none. Okay.
Because we all have choice to perceive structure. Now, say the child has the risk-taking trait, or the teenager has a risk-taking trait. That's when the ring finger, if you put your palms towards you and you look at your hand, fingers together, and look to see if your ring finger is longer than the index finger. If the ring finger is longer, these are your risk takers. They love to take physical or financial risks. So with children, teenagers, if that risk is not channeled in the right direction, they could get into trouble just for getting the buzz out of life. And so I would say to the parents, get your child involved in sports. Get them involved in activity that channels that energy. Where there's risk-taking, like skiing, skateboarding. I remember here where I live in Petaluma, these young kids were flying down the steps on their skateboards, and the youngest one crashed at the bottom. And I said to him, show me your hands. No, he says. I said, go on, show me your hands. No. And his friend said, show the lady your hands. So he puts his hands up, and I said, boy, are you a risk taker? And they all said, what about me? What about me? And then they see this man coming up the steps. They all run up to him and said, excuse me, sir, can we see your hands?
Oh.
And he put his hands up, and they said, you're not a risk taker. He said, you got that right.
Wow, isn't that just amazing? But you can tell, can you tell things like, for example, is somebody telling the truth or not? Can you tell things like that, or would that not be part of the work that you do?
there's no structure in the face that tells if people are telling the truth or not. There are
okay.
actions with the hands that you see, or the blink of the eyes. But you know, again, if someone has closer eyes and they're not telling the truth, their reaction time might be faster than people with wider eyes. So a study would need to take place to see, is this expression on the face, does it coincide no matter what, whether the eyes are wide set or close set? Or the actress. Now, when the eyebrow goes upwards, and most of your actresses have this, Madonna has this trait, Liza Minnelli has this trait. I just did an interview with a TV program on some famous people, but they all have this trait, which is to do with drama. It means that they love the theater, they love to be on stage. So if they are lying, they may disguise the lie, or they may put more drama into it. Who knows? But these people with that flared, that when the eyebrow flares up at the outer edge, these people love the stage. And they'll do things to attract people to look at them, to notice them. And it's not a vanity thing. It's just they like the attention. They like the applause.
Yeah, isn't that? It's just amazing. So there really isn't. There's just and 68 features, you said. Geez, I mean, and there's so many combinations that can be made from that. So how many people do you think that you've analyzed in your career? You probably can't even recall.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands. And I some of the most. Rewarding times are when it really helps people. And I remember seeing this young man in a parking garage, and all I could see with the traits that the young man in the wheelchair had was the critical trait, which is perfection, precision, good at editing. He also had a bulbous forehead, very, very creative, a lot of imagination, and then the eyebrows going straight the way across, which is to do with balance, harmony. And you see it in a lot of musicians and artists, and he was there helping people out with their parking ticket, and I felt compelled to ask him, well, are you going to college? No, he said. I said, what do you plan to do? He said, well, I'm a high school dropout. Who will have me? I said, here's an idea for you. You might want to get into film editing. Oh, he said, and he took my hands. This is about 18, 19 years of age. He took my hands and he said, you don't know what you've done for me today. He said, you've just turned my life around. He said, I was at the lowest point in my life. He said, I've always been interested in film editing. He said, but I never thought I had what it would take to do that. No one's ever expressed that to me. So all I do, Deb, is to validate what people already know. And it's like, to me, the face is like a map. Say you're going on a journey from California to New York without a map. And you ask for directions on the way. You go this way, that way. You may even do a U-turn. Whereas if you have a map with you, you have a reference point. So this is what the face provides, is a map to our inner template. It reconnects us with who we are and what our purpose is in life. What excites us? What ignites that spark within? We live one life, and we should be doing what it is that we love to do, providing it's financially feasible. Obviously, there are artists out there who are not making enough money to live on, but they keep that interest on the side, that is important for them. It gives them that satisfaction. It gives them a reason to get up.
Wow. I mean, I just think this is so tremendous. I mean, you can probably accomplish more in what you do than years of therapy, too, because just listening to that, young person, 19, saying, you don't know what you've done for me. I mean, just turned his life around. And I can see why you speak at a lot of colleges as well, because this is very, very powerful information. And whether someone has the idea that they knew this or not, it's really validating to hear the science and the credibility behind the work that brings you to these conclusions. And I think that's something that you can't purchase. No one can give you that, but it's unbelievable. I mean, I know that this is going to be one of those shows where people are going to download and listen and listen and listen again. And I'm looking at the time, and I don't want to be running out of it. But a final thought or some other things, how people can connect with you to have this done, or anything else that you wanted to leave with listeners that might just be overwhelmed in a tremendously positive way about what you're sharing.
Well, you know, there is my book, as I mentioned, What Makes People Tick and Why, and I actually have a sale on my books right now, so if you purchase from my website, you will see there's a greatly reduced price, because I just had a newly edited one put out again. All the spelling mistakes have been corrected. So there's that to start off with. But it's also, I would like to add that, you know, just be aware of how you're communicating to your family members, to each other. And if you've had a fallout, you know, try to sort things out, because it's parents need to stay in touch with their kids and vice versa. So I remember this man who sent me this chart, and I noticed he had a critical trait and a very dry humor, long philtrum from the top of the lip to the base of the nose, very long, like George Bush Jr. And I knew he was very sarcastic, very cutting. And I said it in a positive way, you know, you need to be aware of this. And he wrote to me about 2 months later. He said, you don't know what you've done. He said, my daughter and I, my 50-year-old daughter, he said, it severed the relationship, he said, because I was so cutting. He said, when I got your CD, he said, I heard myself for the first time.
Mm.
And he called his daughter and apologized. So, you know, yes, looking at the gifts, but be aware of your communication within the family and within friends. Think about what it would feel like if someone said that to you, or someone tried to control you, or someone snapped at you. You've got to think how that would feel. So it's not just about getting back on track with life. It's being aware of our communication. And the book is the beginning. And certainly there are actually now a total of 91 traits that we look at. But the book helps you to be aware of each other's communication. And that's where help you. Workshops, they're great events at companies. They love it. Sales, marketing, you know, human resources, etc. That's a great tool for them to use. And also coaches. They're great for coaches. Life coaching, psychologists. It just gives them another tool to work from. And it's so instant. And, you know, I might add, Deb, and this is not in criticism of other approaches, but this is the most accurate system of reading faces that's been used today.
Mm.
And that's all based on the men who founded this.
Wow, unbelievable. You know, there's so many areas that you can apply this knowledge to. I just was going to read a couple of the testimonials that I love. My career chart arrived today. Thank you so much. I'm listening to it now, and I only wish someone had told me all of this about myself decades ago. Isn't that the truth? I mean, what an amazing report to be able to have. And just, you know, anybody listening, the spark, is it lit up inside of you? Do you feel a tug, a pull? Children, career changes, students, anything and anyone. I mean, we're all, people have faces. I mean, so who doesn't this apply to? I mean, it's in our DNA. It's something that we all have. And there's not one person that has, you know, just a positive without the weaknesses. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But the people that are super successful in life, the people that are happy in life, the people that are fulfilled in life, the people that are enjoying their every day, one day at a time, they're doing the things that they're designed to do. And that's what this is going to help them understand, is, you know, that DNA connection with your facial features. This is what you're designed to do. This is what you do well at. This is what you need to bring to the world and can bring to the world easier than somebody else who maybe doesn't have these traits.
That's correct, yes. And it doesn't mean to say if people don't have a certain trait that they can't do something, they can with experience, absolutely. It just, as you say, it comes easier with for someone who is, say, the designer, which is the inverted V in the eyebrow. When you see that inverted V, this is the architect, the designer. And it just comes naturally to them. And you often see the close-set eyes in the inverted V in photographers. So next time you see that trait combination, as close-set eyes, inverted V of the eyebrow, ask them if they like photography, and you'll be amazed.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, so everybody, if you're going to be like me, you're going to want to go ahead and purchase your career profile. Again, I'm not endorsing this because I'm making any monetary gain for me. I'm doing it because I just believe in this process, which is why Naomi's a guest on the show. You know, everybody that listens to the show knows I'm a stickler for having people that walk their talk. But you can order your career profile and have your, if you do the faces, again, you can do the front, send the front, the both sides with the ears and the forehead, and what is it with the hands again, Naomi?
The palms facing the camera,
mm-hmm.
knuckles straight, fingers together, and the thumb resting against the index finger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I have to tell everybody, I mean, I having been, you know, in my career, I think I got every single exam. I don't even know the names for half of them. I've had the Myers-Briggs. I've had the, you know, colorful salesperson. I've had, I mean, every single exam, it seems that every company is always using them. And I've had so many. And they are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I have to say that one of the things that I really like is that you can get this for under $200. And for this amount of information for under $200, I think it's really a blessing that, you know, you share your talent. Obviously, I don't know what kind of facial feature you have to do what you do, but you obviously have it.
Well, it's a passion. You know, when I was as a child, I would look at people's features and I think, well, why are they different from us? And I'd look at the structure of the face to look at the differences. And my parents were very embarrassed about me staring at people. And but I was intrigued, but because they said, "Oh, don't be silly! You're imagining it," you know. And so I just, you know, sort of when I came across this again, it ignited that spark again. And I think it's just face pattern recognition, which is another term I use for this, because it's recognizing. I mean, we see over time, we meet with thousands of people. And, you know, sometimes we say to someone, oh, I think you'd be good at this. I don't know why, but I've got a feeling. I think it's face pattern recognition mm-hmm. because we've met other people with that same trait combination in the same job or the same activity. And it's something that triggers it off, that triggers the brain off and seeing the pattern again.
Mm.
And that's what I see this is it's connecting the dots, simply as that.
Unbelievable.
And, what I didn't mention was when there's a lot of asymmetry in the face, and that indicates if there's that asymmetry, like George Bush Jr. has a fair amount of asymmetry in the face, it would indicate that parents are very different from each other, so the child inherits those differences. Now, what can happen if there's a lot of differences? That can create mood changes, so that person can be on cloud nine and suddenly go down in the dumps for no reason. And they don't understand it. And what I found that when people have this, I suggest they get out there and walk, go out and have exercise, go and do something different, because now they're constantly saying to themselves, ah, I'm in a mood swing. I know what I need to do here. I'm going to go for a walk.
Wonderful. Well, I am actually very sad that we're out of time, but hopefully you'll come back and give us an update and share your shine with us again, because it's just a fascinating topic. You're helping thousands of people. I'm encouraging everyone and anyone, you know, make an investment in yourself and get this assessment for yourself or loved ones. You have a business. They're looking for a great speaker. Definitely, I think that we'd all agree this is a fascinating topic, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous resource that you've given people. I think it's wonderful what you do. It's a lot of fun, and the accuracy is really it's overwhelming and just unbelievable. So you can get the book, get Naomi's book. You can get her newsletter. You want to go to NaomiTickle.com, and there's the website with all the resources. And just thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this. And I know that people are going to enjoy sharing the show with a friend, because this is something that, you know, is of interest to everyone, I think.
Yes. Well, thank you, Deb, for inviting me to be on the show. It's been a pleasure, and look forward to working with you in the future, and have a fantastic day.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. Well, that was Naomi Tickle, and I love that name. I love your name, too, by the way. That just it feels so good. If you enjoyed this show as much as I did, make sure that you download it on iTunes. You can put it on your mobile device. Listen to Naomi again in the car. Sign up for under $200. You can get that report on yourself or someone that you love. And it's just a great topic, and we really appreciate it. So make sure that you share the show with a friend to keep us going and growing. And in the famous words of Oscar Wilde, remember to be yourself. Because everybody else is already taken. God bless. Make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.